Hello, Tappers. What's going on? It is Saturday, August 11th, my father's birthday. Wishing him a happy birthday, even though he isn't a loyal podcast listener. He's only not a loyal podcast listener because I don't even think he really knows how podcasts work. I think if I downloaded it on his Android, got him set up, I think he would listen pretty much every day. I also think he would criticize some of the language used on this podcast, but that's here and over there. So wishing him a happy birthday. Excited to celebrate with him later. Excited to talk to you. If this is your first time, your second time on the Daily Tap, it is a podcast. We do about 20 minutes of Wisconsin sports on the weekends. You might be like, do I need this? Yes. We're not always there on Sundays. That'll change once football season gets going. But we are here for you to basically give you a sort of, here's what you need to know about sports for the weekend. Here's what you need to talk about at the bars or out and about on Saturday and Sunday so you don't sound like an idiot. So we're just trying to help you out. So you can always find us on Snowtap WI. This is posted. You'll see this. We're going to be putting up a Snowtap Network page that we're going to then link to so that you can access every podcast. So if it's your first or second time, you can kind of pound a couple of them out before you make the decision to subscribe. And if you do like us, I think it's great for the car. I think it's great for a ride to work because it's only 20 minutes long. And that's what we work on with the Daily Tap. We also have Tapping the Keg, which is a little bit of our longer podcast where Mitch and I talk about a variety of topics, also Wisconsin sports related. Our 300th episode is this week. Could not be more excited. All right. So we are going to get into the Bucks schedule, talk a little bit about the Brewers at a near collapse level and where my panic meter is, and then discuss the PGA Championship and a rant against TNT because that is just what I'm into at this point. All right, so the Bucks schedule came out yesterday. A lot of people obviously made a big deal out of the NBA releasing the schedule because the NBA has sort of become the NFL in terms of it never has off days. It drives clicks. It drives attention. Obviously because they are so well known in the, I would say, on Twitter and on social media, people just go crazy for it. It's not really that big of a deal. Some of the things that we're going to talk about on this podcast today are not going to matter when we are going for the podcast, when we're talking about these games and this stuff in October, November, January. But basically what I'm trying to do is pull out basically one headline for each month of the year to sort of, here's what you have to look forward to as the season gets going. I walked by the Fiserv Forum yesterday, and I got to be honest, I kind of had a boner. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, it is just a fantastic venue. It will get you excited for Bucks basketball. It gets you excited for what's ahead, what's upcoming. And yes, the expectation should be high, but I think there's every reason in the world for you as a Bucks fan to be excited. I get to never trust the Bucks. I get the idea that right now we're going through it with the Brewers where we trusted that this would be different for the Brewers, and it's not. It's not going well, and we are relying on Wade Miley to sort of save the season. I wouldn't say save the season, but it's getting to that sort of level. All right, so now back to the Bucks. So yes, the Milwaukee Bucks have, I think, a very nice schedule. They are, according to ESPN's numbers, they have the fourth easiest schedule in the NBA. They don't play Philadelphia four times. They don't play Boston four times. They avoid that. That is a major win for Milwaukee, as well as having things spaced out. They don't have a West Coast swing that involves them playing both the Lakers and the Warriors. That is spread out. There's a lot of interesting little tidbits. Starting in October, it really is the home du jour. The Bucks play six of their first eight games at home at the Fiserv Forum, and to make it easier on them, the first road game is the opener against Charlotte, so that's nice. They have no real like wear and tear on the season. Then their other road game is in Minnesota, so that is at the Fiserv Forum. Tiger nearly hold one out. I'm watching the PGA as a podcast, which could be a bad or good thing. We'll just have to see. But yeah, so they a quick trip up to Minneapolis, and then they get a back-to-back to play Orlando. So the back-to-back opponent's not even that difficult. Pretty nice for the Bucks to start the season. It definitely eases it in and definitely gets you multiple opportunities to get into the Fiserv Forum. I imagine tickets are going to be very hard and very not easy to come by. We shall see once prices are out. I know SeatGeek had made mention. I'm not sure when single game does go on sale, but I know they probably will go on soon. So definitely a lot of opportunities to get inside the new arena to watch the Bucks play. November, there is a couple things to like there. First of all, the early West Coast swing's interesting. I'd love to see numbers on how teams do with an early West Coast swing compared to when the Bucks had sort of that late game, that late West Coast swing. It's not too terrible. I mean, you go to Portland, you go then to Golden State, and then you play a afternoon game against the Clippers and then a back-to-back against Denver. But that back-to-back really isn't that, I would say, significant because it's not a night back-to-back. It's a day-night back-to-back. Not too difficult for the Bucks. Obviously, they've had some struggles in Denver, but it definitely looks like a 2-2 West Coast trip is attainable. So that's pretty nice. And then I do also like that they're home for Thanksgiving. I think that is sort of great. You know, I think it's a psychological thing, right? Like, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas are time for family, and being able to be home and have your loved ones visit your apartment or wherever you're staying at that time, I think is really good. I think that's really good for the players. So the fact that they're home for all of Thanksgiving is really nice and definitely something the Bucks haven't had, I think, really the last couple of years, actually. They were out west last year. I remember that crazy game against Phoenix where Giannis didn't play, and then I think they get blown out the next day or the day after, and they had to go to Detroit. I don't know. They had a really rough schedule last year around Thanksgiving, so that's definitely different. December's headline, a lot of games against similar teams. I typically hate that. I've ranted against that before. I hate the back-to-backs against the similar teams. I think it's really fucking dumb. I think it's just, I don't know. It just bothers me. I mean, they play New York three times, twice in Madison Square Garden, once at the Forum, twice against Cleveland. You could say they play Detroit three times because they have a game on New Year's Day at the Forum against Detroit, and that'll be the third time they've played them basically in a month. So that's a lot of similar opponents. It's not necessarily a difficult schedule. They have a long homestand right around Christmas time too. So once again, the NBA did the Bucks right from a holidays perspective. And you could make, if you want to be cynical about it, you can say, yeah, probably they did that with the new arena. Definitely, I would say, if you look at this schedule, it plays well for the new arena. A lot of Saturday games, a lot of time when people could be visiting and you want to take your relatives to go see the new arena. I think there's going to be a lot of that. January, there isn't necessarily much there in January. I do think they have one of their tougher four-game stretches in January when they're home, I believe, in Toronto. Or no, they're home against Toronto, home against Utah, then they go to Houston, and then to Washington. Washington, to me, is a great equalizer from the fact that I don't know if we understand how good Washington's going to be. They could be a top four, top five team in the East, or they could be a underperforming team where Scott Brooks gets fired. I think there is no, you know, there's no telling what Washington could be. And I think it will really matter for the Bucks, to be honest, because Washington is kind of in different key parts of the schedule. And then in February, it's kind of a time to get right. February, you could go on a real run. You play a lot of bad teams. There's really only four good opponents they face, one being Washington. So you can ask yourself, is this the time where the Bucks sort of get hot? And they may need a hot February because March is an absolute challenge. March is a complete bear. They play the Lakers twice, and that includes the West Coast trip. They play the Rockets once. They play the Heat twice. They go to San Antonio. They go to New Orleans. You're also in Utah. The Pacers, I believe, are on the schedule as well. March is going to be very, very difficult for the Bucks. So it would behoove Milwaukee to have a strong January and a strong February to leave room for a potential downswing in March. And I'm prefacing this and saying this to Bucks fans, and I know it's August, so you'll all forget about this, but they could have a really fucking tough March, and that could really sweat out some Bucks fans where things could fall apart. It's not going to be easy for them. What is easy is April, where four of the last six games are against Atlanta and Brooklyn. Brooklyn may sneak around and be a contender. I doubt that they would, but not a contender, but maybe a play, maybe an 8 seed, maybe a 9 seed. Brooklyn is well coached. They have a young team. I think they are probably on the right path for the first time ever in franchise history because they actually have competent people running their organization. So maybe Brooklyn isn't as much of a pushover as they once were, but still, four out of the last six against Atlanta and Brooklyn is pretty nice if Brooklyn isn't what I say they could be. I have a soft spot for Brooklyn. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the jerseys. I don't know if it's D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell won me some money. And so I think whenever a player wins you some money, and a lot of money, you have a soft spot for him. So that's the Bucks schedule in a nutshell. A lot can happen. Injuries happen. Teams that we think are going to be good and think that are going to be a bear on the schedule turn out that they are cupcakes. Teams that we didn't expect to be good are actually some of the more difficult opponents on the schedule. So it's definitely it from a high-level perspective. We are going to obviously have different opinions as the season goes on. All right, moving on to the Brewers. So my panic meter for the Brewers was at like a 6 before the Braves series. Now it's hovering around an 8. And if they lose tonight, I think it's a full tilt at 10. Because let me tell you guys, this is not good. They've lost 4 of their last 5. They've lost some of those games to the Padres, 2 of those, where you could have potentially won. You have to start winning some baseball games. You are tied for the wild card right now with Atlanta. You lose today, you could be out of the playoff hunt. You are relying on a guy like Wade Miley to be your dude. There is no time to fuck around tonight. This is a game where if Josh Hader has to pitch in the fourth inning, Josh Hader's in there and he's going for 3 innings. This is as much of a must win as there is in baseball. It's 6 weeks left to go in this season. You'll know what the Cubs have done. If the Cubs win tonight and you lose, you are then going to be, I believe, 3.5 back of Chicago heading into a two-game series with the Cubs. So instead of having a chance to maybe be tied, if you win both, you're going to be trailing significantly. This is a game the Brewers absolutely have to have. And maybe I'm being overdramatic. Maybe this is hyperbole, but it's no longer, it is a long season. These stretches happen. You can ill afford to lose tonight. You cannot lose this game. The Brewers have got to win tonight. They have to have this one, and it's not going to be easy. Wade Miley has pitched okay for the Brewers. He's a lefty against a team that's done pretty well against lefties. Ronald Acuna is a beast. Whatever catcher they throw out, whether it's Flowers or Suzuki, mashes lefties. Camargo, who was good last night, very good against lefties. And you have guys like Markakis and Freeman who are very good against lefties, even as left-handers. Brewers do get Julio Teheran, who's given up 22 home runs, 14 of which I believe are to righties. So maybe there is a chance for the Brewers offense to sort of wake up again, because you had all of the bats last night and they did absolutely nothing against Kevin Gausman. Now, there's a discussion about David Stearns and what he did at the deadline and if he made the right moves or if he played his hand he obviously dug his heels in and wanted to give away the guys that he did, but could he have given up a little bit more to get some of these higher end values? I don't know. And that's a discussion that we can table probably for that sounds like a very good Tapping the Keg podcast, depending on where the Brewers are in the standings. And I mean, it's still a discussion because Soria is on the DL now. Jonathan Scope is hitting under 100 right now. Gausman dominated against the Brewers last night. These aren't good things. This isn't a good thing for David Stearns. And you got to just wonder a little bit. And I've been a very big Stearns I trust guy, but doesn't mean that you can't criticize some moves. All right, to wrap up the podcast today, boy, am I happy to see CBS on the PGA Championship. But CBS has their own flaws, but TNT needs to get the fuck out of my life. TNT delivered one of the worst broadcasts on Friday. They should be thankful the rain happened. Tony Finau had one of the more incredible front nines where I believe he birdied 7 of the first 9 holes. He's trying to make the cut. I believe he did. But TNT did not show dick. TNT finally showed him in the 10th hole, talked about this crazy first round. They were fixated on every shot that Rory, Tiger, and JT took. And I get that the audience wants to see this. You want to see what's going on. But you have to spread the love. You have to act like other golfers exist. You can't just focus on one or two guys. You have to be sort of spreading the wealth, if you will. It's not just about one guy. Tiger Woods is important, sure. But yes, Gary Woodland deserves our attention because he's leading, even though he's wearing an awful fucking shirt for round 3. But you know what? They all matter. And I think that TNT needs to get out of the golf game. TNT deserves what the criticism they're getting. I mean, to add on the course being just absolutely easy and a joke, you also have just a terrible broadcast to go along with it. And that doesn't help anybody. So I really hope a person like ESPN is watching this and saying, we could do 100 times better. They've sort of dipped their toes back into golf with ESPN Plus. I think CBS Network would love to get more subscribers so they could say, you know what, we're going to bring this all in-house, but I don't think they have the subscribers to do it. And I don't know, maybe CBS, you know, can deal with their daytime television not being a thing. I know NBC does that. They sacrifice it. You just wish that NBC SN could even be a part of this, or Golf Channel. Like, it's just a real mess. TNT needs to get off the stage. And I think part of the reason why Turner Sports struggles, I really do, and this is mean, and I don't mean disrespect by this, but the fact that they put so much equity into Ernie Johnson is kind of a shame. Ernie's great at basketball. He's a fantastic guy who, you know, sort of is this point guard leading with Shaq and I was going to say Kobe, Shaq, Charles Barkley, Kenny the Jet Smith, but he's not good in this play-by-play. He does it for golf. He's not good there. He's not good for baseball. He's terrible for baseball. We're going to talk about that in October, about how Ernie Johnson just sort of ruins the sport. And you have a guy like Brian Anderson, who's doing the PGA.com broadcast, and he's done golf in the past, and he really should be TNT's lead guy, yet they owe Ernie Johnson so much for the loyalty thing that they aren't willing to realize that the fans would be much better off with a guy like Brian Anderson. And yes, I have a little bit of bias because I love BA, but it would be so much better. So I do like you get Nance and Faldo as the main leads on Saturday and Sunday. It will be great. Hopefully, I think we are going to get a very good finish because the leaderboard is packed. The course is easy, and that's sort of the positive. But it's not really that fun of a tournament to watch yet. I think we're going to get a really good Saturday. I think we're going to get a really good Sunday. Looking forward to watching it. We'll be back on the podcast Sunday night to go through the PGA Championship. What happened? We may do, or I don't know yet, actually. I shouldn't say that because with where the Brewers are, if the Brewers get swept and we need to react right away, we'll react right away and then do the PGA on Monday. But we'll see, man. It's gonna be very interesting. So I'm going to enjoy golf this afternoon, have a few cold ones, and probably see myself out on mean streets of Milwaukee. As always, you see me out, give me a beer, sign up for Snow Tap Gaming. We didn't talk much because we didn't have any football to discuss today. Snow Tap Gaming on Patreon. Murph updated the cheat sheet. We'll have a link out there, patreon.com/snowtapgaming. Sign up today, $3.40 if you have a draft coming up on Sunday like I do. All right, guys, we'll talk tomorrow, hopefully on better spirits about the Brewers, and hopefully my rage on golf coverage gets better and I don't sound like an old man. All right, take care, guys. Have a good one. Bye.